Jack Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello, and welcome to the Wishbone Podcast, brought to you in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, my slogan for this week is 9-1, and we ain't done.
I like it.
Yeah. I thought back, I've been talking to some buddies from back in our day, and there was the year after you had moved on, and I was still back in Auburn that one or two more years, and we were 9-0 in an 11-game season on probation, and we were going over to Athens to play Georgia, and I printed up a bunch of t-shirts for my friends and me that went that said on the front 9-0. And no, and they said 10-0 and one to go, as if we had already beaten Georgia, right? And we brought them in a paper bag into Sanford Stadium, and in the fourth quarter, when Auburn scored to go up 42-28 on Georgia, we bust was still like 3 or 4 minutes to go in the game. We busted out that bag, and everybody put on their shirts. And you know Georgia fans well enough to kind of imagine how they reacted.
I'm sure they loved that.
Oh, they were so happy for us. They were very the camaraderie that we enjoyed, you know, from sticking that in their faces. So yeah, if I were in Auburn now, I would have a shirt that said, because of that LSU loss, dang it, I'd have a shirt made that says 9-1 and we ain't done. And I really do feel like we ain't done. And I want to get your sense to start off, as we always do with our little quick conversation here. I want to get your sense on where we stand right now. Do you feel like we are done? Have we reached our 9 wins and these last two are just a bridge or two too far? Or are we ain't done?
I think we're not done yet. I think this team has gotten better and better as the season went along, and it's way better than we expected it to be at this point. I mean, we at the beginning of the season, we wrote these two games off. But I don't think you can do that anymore. I think with the way Auburn's played, and clearly with the way Georgia's played, mm-hmm. you know, this is an equal matchup now. It's not a game where you think, oh, Georgia's going to roll in here and crush us. It's a matchup between two teams that are fairly evenly matched. So, and it's in Auburn. Auburn's playing very well. Georgia's battling a bunch of injuries. I think we're in good shape. The game versus Alabama is a different deal. I mean, I think they're still excellent, but we have plenty of time to talk about that when we get there.
Right. That's how I view it. My thinking has changed from how it's been earlier and even midway through the season on these last two games in the following way. And I'm going to make a world premiere announcement here. I've been teasing it today on Twitter, as I like to do, but here is my earth-shattering announcement. I now expect that we will beat Georgia. I will consider it a disappointment and a failure now if we do not beat Georgia. Now, to some of you that are listening, you've been there for a month or more, 2 months, right? And I get that. I have not. But as of the last couple of days, seeing what we did to an admittedly inferior Tennessee team that did have, though, a very good offensive line and some other players, and I think a good coach, I now expect that we should beat Georgia. And I've got stuff to back that up coming later in our broadcast. Alabama, as you say, is a different story, and that's because, you know, Georgia has gotten worse this year, partly injury, partly I just think they're not as good as expected. We've gotten better. But Alabama, on the other hand, is not Georgia. Would you agree?
Yeah, we got plenty of time to talk about Alabama, but I think part of the situation with the perception of the Auburn-Georgia game among Auburn fans is with all the injuries Georgia had and the way they were playing in the middle of the season, a lot of Auburn fans chalked this up as a win a month ago.
Right.
But the problem is we don't get to play that Georgia team.
Right.
we don't get to play the same team that Missouri and Vanderbilt got. Mm-hmm. We get to play if we were playing that team, it'd be a win.
Yeah.
We get to play Georgia with a lot of their good players coming back. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a different animal.
I think it's going to be a lot more like like the Texas A&M game than it will like the Tennessee game, put it that way.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get into the meat of our material. We've got a lot to talk about. Before we went on the air, I was teasing John that this is going to be an hour and 20-minute show at minimum, so we're going to try to beat feet here and make sure we're not keeping folks tied to this broadcast too terribly long. We want to be concise. So let's see, what sort of announcements do we have this week?
Well, we're now on Facebook, I believe.
Yes,
is that correct?
That's right. We have a Facebook page. I set it up just a couple of days ago, and we had probably a couple dozen people maybe to like it immediately, people that I knew or that were somehow connected to me and saw that it was up. But anybody is welcome. It's an open page where we'll do some trivia, maybe take suggestions for topics. You know, particularly in the off season, once the season's over or before the time layoff between the last game and the bowl game, we'll be able to come up with some topics there people can suggest. And it's just another avenue. You know, we'll announce when new shows are coming and look for questions there. So it just gives us another avenue to interact with all the folks that like to listen to our show and want to be able to contribute or be a part of it. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure actually how to get there. Because Facebook is kind of weird about finding their pages. I'll have the URL for sure next time. But I think if you just go on Facebook and if you just search like communities and just search AU Wishbone, I'm sure that'll come up, right? Just go in the little search box and type in AU Wishbone, and you should probably see our little logo. And all you gotta do is just quote unquote like it, and then you're able to participate. So come on in.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we just want to thank everybody for listening each week. And we've had a lot of listeners, both on the War Eagle Radio app and on the regular podcast through iTunes. And we get a lot of good questions and feedback each week. So if you have any questions for us, you want us to answer, even if it's not, on the day of the podcast, if you think about it while you're watching the game or right after the game, send it on Twitter to @AUWishbone. We'll be happy to answer.
Yeah, it was neat. We had questions coming in almost every day this week when I went over to the AU Wishbone account. And John and I both kind of peek in there from time to time and send stuff. And I went over there and looked, and there were questions from all week. So that's awesome. Yeah, you don't have to wait until the last minute. Just go ahead. If something occurs to you, send it on in.
All right, we got lots of good questions this week. You ready to answer some?
Let's do it.
All right, the first question is one that's close to your heart. It comes from Ross Hatcher. Yep. He says, how does one become the official sponsor of the AU Wishbone podcast? He says, I do love some Red Diamond sweet tea.
I hear you, Ross. I'm a big Red Diamond fan. I know I have been calling them the unofficial sponsor. And given our numbers lately, which have blown my mind, I was just about to broach this conversation and this topic to John already that we need to find an official sponsor. So I think that in the days to come, we may go looking for an actual sponsor to help defray some of our costs, because we don't really make any money putting this show together, but it does cost money to do it. So it would be kind of neat. You know, the only revenue stream that we have right now is if you go and buy Season of Our Dreams or Decades of Dominance, which is why we annoy you by mentioning them so many times. That helps defray the cost of hosting this show, which is the more listeners we get, though, see, the more it costs us. So it costs us even more, and it's great. But so, we may be looking for an actual sponsor. I hear other shows have like Audible and, Amazon and all these various Hulu and all that. So we need to get in on some of that new media money. But but Red Diamond Tea does remain the unofficial sponsor of the show, though, as far as I'm concerned.
Sweet tea is good.
Yes.
All right. Our next question comes from Patrick Ringer,
mm-hmm.
who's my younger brother. He says, which happens more versus Georgia, Cameron Artis Payne carries or Jeremy Johnson pass attempts?
That's a good question, isn't it? That's kind of like one of those Las Vegas prop bets, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is a good question.
What do you think?
I would have always said Cameron Artis Payne carries, but we just haven't been giving him the ball. I don't understand it.
Well, you know that the Jeremy Johnson pass attempts. Well, now look, there's a couple of weeks ago, and then there's the last 2 weeks, right, where we need to talk about pass attempts. That's one of the topics we need to get into. But I would set the Jeremy Johnson pass attempts against Georgia over under at 3. Would you agree with that?
That seems reasonable to me.
I mean, it might be 2 or 1 or 0, but it might be 4. You know. If they're able to stop the run, we may be passing more, obviously, than normal for our last few weeks. And so it makes sense to me that some of them would be Johnson doing it. So,
well, here's the Jeremy Johnson pass attempts in SEC games.
All right.
Versus Texas A&M 2, Arkansas 1, Tennessee 0.
Wow.
Okay. Cameron Artis Payne carries – against Tennessee, he actually got a lot of
the fourth quarter
carries.
Yeah,
you know, when the game was well in hand, we actually, you know, pulled Trey Mason. He got 12 carries.
Mm-hmm.
So, but before that, 2 against Arkansas, 5 against Texas A&M.
Well, that's unbelievable. I just don't understand it. But anyway,
well, I think you got to say Cameron Artis Payne carries then.
I don't think he's going to get 12 against Georgia, though.
No, but he might get 5.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Johnson's not going to throw 5 passes unless Marshall's.
How many carries is Trey Mason going to get against Georgia? Over under 22.
Over.
All right.
25.
Okay.
All right. That's a good question, though. Very thought-provoking. All right. Our next question comes from Reynolds Wolf. And he says, while he's, you know, very happy with the amazingly productive running game, he's concerned about the lack of passing game. Kind of the if you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing.
Yes.
He says, if Georgia or Alabama force us to pass,
yes,
you know, can we do it? Can we shake off the cobwebs and get it done?
And like he says, I'm beyond worried. Please talk me down from the ledge. Well, and he had some other very, very kind comments that I think John and I both appreciate. Reynolds, thank you for listening and for those kind words. I've been thinking the same thing, which is that, you know, it's one thing to not have to run. I mean, let me restate that. It's one thing to not have to pass. It's another to not do it and then kind of get out of practice at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a couple of people on the Auburn sports list this week were saying, you know, it would have been kind of crass to throw the ball in the second half against Tennessee. But we kind of wished we had anyway, just to help prepare, you know, for the upcoming games.
Well, I think that's why we came out throwing the ball.
Yeah.
You know, the first series of the game, we threw the ball 3 times, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we did it. Was because they were trying to get some things going. But then we turned around and we were running the ball like crazy, and it wasn't necessary.
Oh, and then as soon as we did the pick 6, that was like, well, that whole experimental, newfangled passing thing gets back on the shelf.
It's out.
Yeah.
It's out.
Forget that. Yeah. And I don't entirely – I'm not saying that in a way of, you know, I'm blaming, quote-unquote, Gus or Rhett Lashley for that. I understand completely because, you know, from the comments I've read, I think that the coaching staff – took this game very seriously and actually thought that it could go against us and be a very tough game. And I don't think that they wanted to do anything to jeopardize getting this win, regardless of what it sets. I mean, we've talked a lot about how Gus sets things up for the future, but I honestly think in this game against Tennessee, at least in the first quarter, Gus was thinking, what do I need to do to make sure I win this game and not worry about other stuff?
Absolutely. And you remember at the beginning of the game was kind of in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems kind of silly in hindsight, but it was kind of back and forth there the first quarter or so.
Absolutely.
And until Auburn really asserted control. So at that point, you're thinking, what do we have to do to win? And I do wish we were throwing the ball more and better
Well, so this is the $60,000 question. When we come out against Georgia on Saturday, if they do manage to stop the run, and I think that's an if. I think we're to the point now.
Sure.
Now, again, we're not going to talk about Alabama very much tonight, but I will say this. Y'all might as well go ahead and get ready, because Alabama is going to stop our run game in the first quarter. You might as well expect it. It's going to happen. Nick Saban and those players with that size and speed, they are going to stop our running game in the first quarter. But here's the thing. Gus will figure out what to do and we'll be okay. It won't be a disaster, okay? So we just need to not get too far behind. If you don't believe me, watch the first quarter of the Cam Newton 2010 Iron Bowl, all right? It's going to happen. They're able to do it. But we will overcome it. Now, can Georgia do that? I don't know. If Georgia is able to stop us early, what do you expect to see from our passing game, John?
I think Auburn can throw the ball. I think Nick Marshall can throw the ball. I think, you know, you've seen when they had to against Texas A&M, last drive against Mississippi State, when they had to throw the ball, they could.
Mm-hmm.
And they have decent receivers.
But that's been a while.
I know, but that doesn't mean they can't do it. That doesn't mean they're not practicing it every day, working on the timing and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of reason we haven't thrown the ball because we didn't need to. Because a pass is much riskier, and so therefore you don't pass unless you need to. We didn't need to. We were crushing everybody with a running game. It doesn't make sense to risk things by throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You could, you know, create turnovers, put yourself in bad down or distance things where you get no gain, and then it's, you know, you're suddenly in your third and long. So, but there will be times against Georgia when we need to throw the ball, and I feel like Marshall can get it done. I mean, I think. You know, if it comes down to a passing duel between he and Aaron Murray, we may have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, as a way to get, you know, if Georgia's stacking everybody in the box, basically daring us to throw the ball, then we're going to make him pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other part. Georgia is okay against the run. They're not bad against on run defense. They're terrible against the pass.
Mm.
I mean, they are 13th, I think, in the SEC in pass defense. We'll talk about that some more in a minute, but I think that's going to be a problem for them.
You know, it just occurs to me, because I was just thinking about some of the statistics and some of the things you were mentioning there. We've already got 9 wins. That's more than any Auburn team other than the national championship team since at least 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even, you know, we've still got 2 games to go, but I just want to remind everybody, this is a team that was 3-9 a year ago, less than a year ago, 3-9. They have been able to figure out so many things and get refocused and redetermined and all that kind of stuff. And with the new offense and the new everything, new defense, everything, that they are now a 9-win and counting team. Don't be bitterly disappointed if we don't magically also develop this awesome passing game. Because seriously, to come from where we were to where we are now is miraculous, and we'll win Gus Malzahn Coach of the Year. I just don't want to hear Auburn people complaining, and I'm not saying it by any means that that's what, you know, Reynolds was doing in his question. He asked a very good, very good, reasonable question. I'm just saying I don't want to hear any Auburn people later complaining that we couldn't suddenly develop, you know, Joe Montana passing game. Because, good Lord, what we've managed to develop already is beyond what anybody could have dreamed, you know?
Well, and, I mean, our running game isn't just good. It's like one of the 2 or 3 best in the whole country right now.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we're running the ball 300 or 400 yards a pop against SEC teams.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing something right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they're worried about stopping our running game.
So have we talked Reynolds down from the wall, from the ledge?
I hope so. But we'll get there more and talk about Georgia.
Okay.
All right. Next question comes from Matt Morton. Has a couple good questions here. He's got questions about the defense.
Hmm.
Does our propensity to give up big running plays on D concern you, considering we're playing a really good running back this weekend? And what can the defense do to limit these kind of plays? Is it better line play or linebacker play or both?
Well, the defensive line is doing about has come along about as well as anybody could expect. But we simply are a team with very glaring limitations, both in numbers and in certain areas on linebacker. And so I'm not the greatest technical X's and O's football mind in the world, John. I freely admit that. I do what I can. You tell me, and you know defense better than I do anyway, you tell me, does the fact that our defensive line and our secondary, that they're good, but that the linebackers are a little suspect, does that figure into the fact that we do better inside the red zone than out in the middle of the field? In other words, is there something just about being up against the end zone that makes the weakness at linebacker less relevant? Do you see what I'm saying?
I see your question, but that's not it. I mean, okay. Some of it is the design of the defense. All right. Is a little bit, you know, that people hate the whole bend but don't break thing, mm-hmm. but that's a little bit where we are. The other part is when you get closer to the end zone, you can be a little bit more aggressive because you don't have to worry about everybody getting behind you.
Yeah,
you don't have to back up so far. So you can be a little bit more on top of the receivers and stuff.
Okay.
But when we're talking about big plays by opposing running backs, what we're talking about is, you know, giving up huge chunks of yards to some of the guys we played, whether it was, Jeremy Hill, whether it was Dak Prescott from Mississippi State, or the running back for their team running straight up the middle, or some of the other running backs we've seen this year. So a lot of it is linebacker, honestly, and I think down the road will be better there. They're doing the best they can, but compared to other Auburn linebackers, the past is not the best group. So I think we're going to need the defensive line to play well, to get pressure in the backfield, disrupt Gurley before he can get going, and we're going to need people to tackle well in space. The biggest thing is if you get a chance to tackle him, you got to hit him and bring him down. He makes guys miss, makes guys bounce off him and stuff. Yeah. So, but I honestly don't think it's a thing that they can get much better than they are right now during the season. I think we kind of are what we are with the players we have, especially when you're a team that has both good running backs and a good quarterback. Because then as soon as you get all aggressive with taking out the running back, the quarterback makes you pay for it. So. Against teams that can't throw the ball as well, then you might be able to do different things, but so, not against a senior quarterback like Murray.
So do we he killed us when he was a freshman.
That's right.
Do we want to speculate yet on how Gurley does against us, or you want to wait till we get into the Georgia discussion?
We'll wait. All right. We're coming back to that.
Okay.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff Siegel asked the original question comes from the Tiger Talk, and he says, will Auburn continue to lean this heavily in the ground game, or will they start to balance it out? And we've kind of already answered that. I think we're going to balance it out more in the Georgia game than we have recently, partly by necessity.
Yeah.
Because I think we're going to have some success running the ball. They're not going to be able to stop us completely, but I think they're going to stop us some, and I think we're going to throw it to take advantage of it. I think we're going to make them pay. So I think we're going to have some balance just by taking advantage of what the defense is giving.
Yeah, if what we've done the last three or four games has been and these aren't the numbers, but let's just say if it's been 95% run, 5% pass, which sounds hilarious, but it's about true.
It's about realistic.
I would say this one will be more 85-15 in my opinion.
It could be even more, 75-25.
Yeah.
It would shock 70-30. It would shock me a bit.
I still think it's going to be marginalized. I still think we're going to run on them, and we're going to run on them, and we're going to run on them. And, okay. And I just really want to see those white jerseys, red helmets, and silver pants on their back as Trey and especially Nick gallop over and around and past and through them. This game's going to be very special for Nick, but again, we'll get to that in a minute.
All right. And our last question comes from the un-Auburner, who says, what do you think is the reasoning behind Cameron Artis Payne's lack of playing time the last two games? Are they resting him? Is it something else?
I don't think it's they're resting him. I think it's just that the nature of this staff is to sort of pick somebody and lean on them and let the others sort of be the backup and come in sparingly. And I think they feel very comfortable with Trey. And I think that there were a couple of incidents maybe early in the season. They are very, I've said this before, our coaching staff is very reactionary when it comes to what the players do that makes them, that shocks them, like fumbling or anything like that. And I'll say this too. Would you agree? Cameron Artis Payne has not performed when he's been in the game the way I expected him to.
No, he hasn't. I mean, it was flashes.
Yeah.
And a couple of games where he showed what we thought he could be, but it hasn't been consistent week to week.
No, in the A-Day game, he was so good, but you have to wonder, was it just because of our run defense?
We make our own running backs look better.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, he ran – because remember, Trey didn't even play, right? Trey was nursing an injury.
I believe so.
And so Cap got all the carries, basically, he and Grant. Now – it does surprise me that Grant, at least they did use Grant a little bit, and Grant had several big plays on special teams and on the offense in this game against Tennessee. But I guess if you look back at 2010, you know, Cam kept it a lot, but he gave it to Dyer a good bit on those. Well, think about this. And of course, McCaleb got a lot of carries. But think about this. Think about how many carries Mike Dyer got in 2010. I guarantee you it's fewer than you think it was. I would be willing to bet that if anybody out there named what they thought was a reasonable number of carries that Mike Dyer got per game in 2010, they would be off. They would be way overstating.
I can give you some numbers. You ready?
Well, I'm going to say, but let me tell you this. Because I think that there were whole quarters of multiple games that Dyer never even saw the field.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas McCaleb would be in there almost every play, or a lot of them.
I'm just going to throw a couple of these at you.
Mm-hmm.
SEC games.
Mm-hmm.
At Kentucky, 9 carries.
9.
Arkansas at home, a game with a gazillion points scored, 6 carries.
Wow. Well, he was a little bit hurt going into the Arkansas game, but he still scored a touchdown. Okay.
At LSU at home, 15 carries.
That's more than I would have thought.
Georgia, 13 carries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alabama, 9 carries. So
against Alabama. Yeah, think about that. I mean, and I swear against Oregon, he didn't even go into the fourth quarter.
He had 22 carries in that game.
But I think he had like 18 of them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. He had a lot in the second half.
Yeah. Which worked out because he was still fresh when their defense was getting worn down.
Mm-hmm.
They chased Cam around and McCaleb around for 3 quarters, and then Dyer went in there and just pounded them. But I always got that sense, and my point, I guess, is, and remember, that is with Fannin in the mix, too, that year.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is they do seem to kind of pick their back that they like. You know, they did the same thing at Arkansas State, and they do sort of exclude – everybody else, it seems like, to a surprising degree, perhaps.
Yeah.
There was one other question. Did you have any other thoughts about that? I didn't mean to jump you.
No.
Okay. There was one other question that I do remember seeing that I missed getting to you. Actually, there were two. Somebody, and I apologize for not remembering who it was. You can tweet me or yell at me this week. But somebody had raised the question, said, you know, we were talking about how, and there's been a lot of people saying that Rock Thomas is the biggest recruit since Cadillac Williams. And he said it was Michael Dyer, not a top running back recruit. And yeah, absolutely. He was I believe on ESPN's rankings, he was the number one running back that year.
Well, it was funny because it was, yeah, there was 3 running backs.
Well, Lattimore was number one on Rivals, I think.
Right. Well, there was 3 running backs. It was Dyer, Lattimore, and
Lache Seastrunk.
Right. Lake Seastrunk, who's at Baylor, right? At Baylor. It's amazing.
Yes.
You know, seems like so long ago, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, 3 good running backs at one point. Auburn had a shot at all 3 of them and got Dyer. So.
Well, we could have had Seastrunk if we'd wanted him.
Theoretically,
we,
yes.
We told him, go check out Oregon. It's really nice out there.
Got them on probation.
Yeah. What's the deal with Lattimore lately? I mean, I know he got a horrible injury, but I haven't heard anything. Is he in the NFL?
He's on the 49ers. He's just recovering.
He's still recuperating. And so Dyer is like back up to Louisville. Isn't it amazing how every one of them is on a different team than they started out on after that in the first year?
Yeah.
I mean, and with Lattimore, it's in a good way, even though he had to go through a horrible thing to get there. And with the other two guys, they it's just been musical chairs with those three guys. It's really amazing. Oh, the other question we got was somebody just made the comment. They said something about that I seemed more active or something on Twitter than you, and I just thought that was funny. Oh. And I wanted to address it and say it's just that I'm the wacky one and John is the cool, reserved one. So that's that's the roles that we play. And we both are good at what we do, and we don't try to be the other. Is that fair?
That's fair.
All right.
All right. Let's move on and talk about the Tennessee game.
Let's do it.
I think the first thing with the Tennessee game, it was a much better performance than the Arkansas game. Remember, the Arkansas game we won, mm-hmm. but nobody felt like Auburn played well that night.
No.
And against Tennessee, you got to say the team played well. I mean, offense, 440 yards rushing, 444 yards rushing is amazing. Yep. Special teams absolutely dominated.
Yes. Oh, just a dagger. You could see the Tennessee fans. They would do something for a while, and they'd be like, oh, we're in the game. Oh, crap. as a guy in white would go zooming by on an 80-plus yard run over and over, right? They just were like, oh, well.
And Auburn did set the NCAA record for average kick return yards in a game.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Broke a 1974 Florida State record or something.
Like well, and we almost set the all-time record for most return yards in a game, which is crazy. Yeah. In a game, you know, the other team didn't kick off that.
I know. Yeah, that's exactly right. They had to punt, but they didn't really kick off very much.
I mean, you think that record would be in some game where the team got kicked off to you 10 times or something.
Mm-hmm. Like a shootout game, like the Arkansas game that we were talking about.
Sure.
Yeah. I was just thinking after the game that there was probably a whole – I told my wife there's probably a whole lot of corn getting squozed in the holler Saturday night because they looked pretty sad, and they were leaving that stadium in a hurry.
Well, I mean, and again, it was pretty competitive early in the game. It was kind of back and forth. We had the turnover and stuff, and Tennessee was kind of hanging around. And then Auburn just ran the ball, and kept getting special teams plays, got the punt return and stuff, and it was just over.
See, young Auburn fans listening out there, bless their hearts, it's been a while since Tennessee was a dominant power. They don't even remember Tennessee being a dominant power. But you guys that are young out there got to understand, Tennessee used to be about like Alabama fans are now to a certain degree, in a different way. But, you know, they were winning. They won that 98 national championship. Before that, they had Peyton Manning, you know. And the Tennessee fans, you know, think 107,000 of them in that stadium all singing Rocky Top over and over and over. And it was not pretty. So older fans have a real warm place in their heart for seeing Nalen clear out in the third quarter.
Well, and just the fact that before the SEC split into two divisions, we played Tennessee every single year.
Every year.
We played Tennessee and Florida every year. Only after the SEC split the divisions in 92 did we start playing Ole Miss and LSU every year.
And the important thing about it is it was always our first big SEC game. It usually came week three or week four.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the game that the loser never won the SEC. So yeah. If you messed up and lost that Auburn-Tennessee game, you were fighting for second or third place the whole rest of the year, which is why I've always thought it's funny why Pat Dye and Johnny Majors would always tie this game. They figured, let's just tie it, and now we're both still in the race. Well, they certainly did inordinately tie the game. You know, there was at least, what, two or three, right? So
that's right.
Yeah.
But now they have not beaten us since 2000.
No, yeah, 99 was the last time that they beat us. That 99 game was the one in Neyland where we in Tuberville's first year, and Klein was our quarterback, threw a pick six on the first play. In fact, somebody pointed out that the last two times Tennessee beat us, that we threw a pick six as like the first score for Tennessee. In 99, it was like it was one of those things where the first play is a wide receiver screen out wide. You know, one of those where the quarterback takes a snap and just launches it horizontal. And Tennessee just stepped in front of it and took it in for a 20-yard touchdown. In 98, though, do you remember the pick six that basically won the 98 game? That was one of our worst teams in the modern era, and they lost by one score, 8 points, to a Tennessee team that went undefeated and won the first BCS national championship. And we lost on by one score, and it was the first score of the game. Well, you know, you can say it was the first score of the game, I think. And do you remember the circumstances of the pick six?
No.
Okay. We got the ball. We ran the option. Ben Lear pitching it to whoever our running back was in 98. Okay. We ran the option the entire, like, 5-10 yards of carry all the way down the field, got to Tennessee's 10-yard line, did a shovel pass, and their defensive end stepped in front of it and ran it right up the middle of the field 90 yards for a touchdown.
I remember that now. Just say that.
I was in the end zone where he was running toward, and it was like him and five other big linemen coming rumbling along, and our little offensive guys couldn't even break the scrum to get to him to tackle him. So, yeah, we came so close to knocking them off and messing up their perfect season there. So it still galls me. But yeah, we've won every game with them since then, including two in 2004.
That's right. All right. You know, like we said, we started to throw the ball early, but after that, we didn't bother because the running game was so dominant. And this game especially is funny because it was clear that Tennessee had been watching the Arkansas tape, and they really focused on stopping Trey Mason.
That was
going to be the answer. We stopped Trey Mason. We got him right where we want him. And then they brought everybody inside to stop Mason, and then Marshall started just keeping it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we ran these plays where we'd fake it to Mason going around the end, and then Marshall would keep it, go straight up the middle, and he just tore him apart doing that.
Now, you have to be careful doing that because Nick Marshall's not what you call, you know, a power runner over guard, right, or center. But
he has really gotten so much better, so much more comfortable running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, early in the season, he looked tentative. He didn't look like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And you could see it in the Ole Miss game. He really kind of emerged. And now, I mean, he's a weapon. I mean, he's really tearing other teams apart. He's got the option part down. And Gus and them are really deploying him well that way, you know, between Mason and Grant and Marshall running it up the middle or running it around the end. The other team doesn't know what's coming, and they're out of position a lot of times, and we're burning them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was comical watching the Tennessee defense trying to figure out how to stop. But this is a point I want to make again. Against Tennessee, Nick Marshall would keep the ball and run, and he would run past two Tennessee defensive players standing still, facing the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
over and over. That is not going to happen against Georgia, and it's definitely not going to happen. When Nick Marshall does that against Alabama, instead of two guys facing the wrong way, there's going to be three guys facing the right way.
Yes.
So it's a different challenge entirely.
But I said before the season I was a little worried about the Tennessee game, but Auburn played really well. Both the defense didn't play great, but as the game went along, they tightened up against the run. They didn't let Tennessee, you know, they let Tennessee move between the 20s kind of, but then they tightened up, held them to field goal attempts and stuff. And the defense overall played fine.
Yeah, I just don't understand all the complaining about how our defense is giving up, you know, this. Our defense is what it is. It's never pretended to be anything else. It has not pretended to be Alabama's defense or, you know, Ohio State's defense or Florida State's defense. It is the same defense basically we had last year with better coaching, obviously, much better coaching. But it's not a defense that I just people sound so surprised. They're like, wow, Tennessee ran for 100 and whatever yards. Like, well, no kidding. They got a great offensive line, and our defense is what it is.
We're going to give up a lot of yards.
Yes.
That's just how
it's not a surprise, people. It's not.
No. I mean, our defense gives up a lot of yards. So, you know, we get better. We play better. You know, we keep other teams out of the end zone, which is what you're really trying to do.
Yeah.
But we let teams move the ball between the 20s a lot. And especially early in games, it seems like the other teams are always rolling up and down the field on us.
Yeah.
So. All right. Any other thoughts about the Tennessee game?
It was funny. I didn't get to watch it. I was in Milledgeville, Georgia, doing the Georgia Literary Festival, which was awesome, and I appreciate those folks for having me down there. It was a good time. I actually – I'll tell you real quick because you guys probably get a kick out of this. I had my little iPhone with me, and I finally managed to get a little break for lunch, and I turned it on, and it was 13-13. And we ran the punt back, and I saw the punt return, and I saw something else, and I saw the pick six. And I was when we had the pick six, I was walking down the sidewalk with some of my friends and readers and stuff. And we were about to go into a burrito shop to grab some lunch when the pick six happened. All of a sudden, I'm standing there in the middle of the sidewalk, middle of the street in Milledgeville, Georgia, going, "No, Tennessee, no!" Everybody's looking, right? And then, like, as we go into the shop, we went right back down and scored. And, like, just as we're going in the door, I let loose, "Touchdown, Auburn!" And those other guys are like, "We don't know this man." So I was embarrassing myself, but for a good cause in front of – and it didn't dawn on me, by the way, until I got down there with all of my usual Auburn stuff that I wear and carry – that I was going into Georgia the week before the Georgia game. And I have some things to say about Georgia fans, which we'll get to in just a minute. Do you have any other thoughts about the Tennessee game?
No, other than I'm delighted to beat them. I don't know when we're going to play them again because you don't know how the schedule is going to work out. But, enjoyed beating them and,
again,
happy that, you know, the road game's over. Auburn 3-1 on the road.
Amazing.
When was the last time we were 3-1 on the road in the SEC? Other than 2010. It's been a long time.
Maybe 2004.
It's been a long time. Winning on the road in the SEC is hard.
It's very hard, yes.
And it's very impressive what they did on the road.
You're right about our schedule. I mean, yeah, we may never – I don't know when we're going to play Tennessee again. I hope we're getting close to playing Missouri so I can just run over and see it. But yeah, again, younger fans, enjoy this. People that keep track of Auburn history enjoy this because, once again, all the other stuff aside for 1 second, we have once again extended our streak over Tennessee. The Vols have not beaten us in this millennium. There you go.
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to talk about Georgia.
Oof, 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 oof.
So annoying. Listen, I grew up in Atlanta. I know plenty of obnoxious Georgia fans. You lived in Atlanta a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know plenty of obnoxious Georgia fans. Mm-hmm. We both been to games in Athens,
mm-hmm,
and seen how they act and seen him in Auburn. So I just as soon turn the hoses on them again. So.
I think they need to be hosed down daily.
Absolutely. All right, so the first thing is, when we talked about this game before the season started,
yes,
we were both kind of upset that we were wasting a great home game against Georgia because we thought they would be a national championship caliber team and we thought Auburn wouldn't have a chance. And now it turns out Auburn is really good and we get Georgia and Alabama at home.
Yeah, that's an excellent point that I'm so glad you mentioned. That we did at the beginning of the season, I know I said – That I used the word wasted. I mean, I know I did because, yeah, I mean, we were thinking, you know, if you're going to have Alabama and Georgia together at home, why not have it in a year where you're actually playing for something? Well, guess what? We're playing for something.
That's right.
And we've got them both at home. It's amazing. So it worked out real well.
The biggest thing with Georgia this year is the injuries have really derailed them.
Yeah.
I mean, they went through they've lost a bunch of their starting receivers. They lost Keith Marshall, their other running back. They lost Gurley for a couple of games. They lost Arthur Lynch, their tight end, for a couple of games. They lost Michael Bennett for a few games. The bad news for us is a lot of those guys are coming back. I mean, Gurley's played some. Michael Bennett's played some. Lynch has not played yet, but they think he's probably going to play this week. And they're a different team with those guys. The team that you saw against Vanderbilt, we don't get that team. You know, we're going to get a much better offensive team. When they have, you know, before the season with all of those weapons, I think Georgia's offense was going to be better than Texas A&M's offense with the weapons they have.
You know what's funny? This is a Georgia team and a Georgia fan base that finds itself in the position where they started out the season thinking they were going to be national champions, and they arrive late, late, late in the season at the Auburn game playing simply to ruin a good or great Auburn season. And the funny thing about that, John, is that Georgia has found itself in that exact position many times over the years, and I think that's hilarious. Regardless of how it comes out, right? Regardless of how it comes out, how many times have they firmly predicted that they were going to be playing for the national championship, and instead they end up trying to ruin our season?
It seems like every other year.
Every other year, it seems like. Yeah, it's funny is what it sort of is.
So one of the big keys in the game is Gurley. We talked about him last week, that I think he's better than the guy Hill from LSU that tore us up in the middle. The question is he healthy? When he played against Florida, he was clearly not healthy all the way.
Still looked good, though.
Yeah, it's still dangerous, but not the same guy. And if he's close to 100%, you know, we're going to have real problems. He's going to go for 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns if he's healthy. And it makes it very hard to stop them because they have him and they have a really good senior quarterback. I mean, I think if Gurley was on a team where he was healthy all year and he played every game and got the ball a lot, he would be the kind of running back that could win the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. I think he's the best back in the – I love Trey Mason. And there's a lot of other good running backs, but I think he's the best back in the SEC. So you combine him with the senior quarterback, they get Michael Bennett and Lynch back. That'll give Murray two other good receivers to throw to, two dependable targets for them. A lot of the guys that have been playing haven't been that dependable in terms of running routes and dropping balls and that kind of thing. So I think that's going to be big for our defense to try and get stops against them, try and harass Murray, get in the backfield, disrupt the running play before Gurley can get going. The defensive line is going to have to play a really, really good game.
Yeah, seeing their running game against Vanderbilt with their total backup, just they looked like they had the scout team in at running back, and they looked inept.
Sure.
So this is definitely, you know, John has told you folks what to expect here. It's not the same team. This is going to be a bigger challenge. I hope the media understand that, right? The sports media, they're going to be so.
No, I think they do. Yeah. But I think. You were right earlier when you said it. It's going to be like the Texas A&M game. I mean, I think they're going to come into our stadium and score 30 points, and Auburn is going to have to come and score more. This isn't like the Arkansas or Tennessee games where we're playing against crappy quarterbacks and bad offenses. I mean, this team would score points.
Yeah,
this is the best offense we've faced since Texas A&M.
That being said, I've got some numbers for you in a couple of minutes that give me a lot of hope, and it's why I went ahead and made my – I wouldn't.
All right.
I made my lock of the week.
All right. There's a few other things. What do you think about Georgia traditionally has this thing where they like to get chippy during some of these games to start trouble. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, they've always been that way. I mean, and it's so. I think that one of the reasons it really stands out is because Mark Richt puts on such a holier-than-thou, you know, performance. I've said for the last couple of years that back, you know, 5 years ago or more, I liked Mark Richt, and didn't like Les Miles. And over the last 5 years or so, I've completely flipped on that. I now just love Les Miles and think he's awesome. And Mark Richt just makes me basically want to throw up on a regular basis. He just is so sanctimonious. He's so dour. He's never having any fun. I just can't stand him. So, he has this whole I'm the Pope attitude going while his players are out there starting fights, late hits, doing everything they can to provoke you into doing something. And I just never thought much of that. And so, I fully expected again. You remember how the ending of the 2010 game was? They were gonna, they were losing the game. They were gonna try to win the fight.
That's right. They were going after Fairley, so I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Went after Cam too in retribution, as they saw it. But so, yeah, I expect that to be a problem and an issue, and I hope that. But I mean, I can't imagine us being any more disciplined than how Gus has the team now.
No, I mean, it's amazing the turnaround. Auburn is one of the least penalized teams in the country.
Yes.
On a per-game basis, we're the least penalized team in the SEC. And that's amazing. I mean, it's a sign of good coaching. It's a sign of a disciplined team that knows the rules and knows what they're supposed to do. You don't see the kind of stupid, boneheaded mistakes you saw the last couple of years.
Right. Well, the cliche is it's a sign of a team that has, quote, bought into, unquote, what the coaches are saying and doing.
Well, I mean, that's the cliche, but the truth is that, you know, penalties are a sign of, you know, you're not disciplined, so you're not focusing, you're not paying attention. And then also a team that kind of plays out of control and gets those kind of dumb aggression penalties. And this team doesn't do that. They play smart football.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things in the Georgia game is going to be third down is going to be big. You know, Auburn has gotten better and better as the season went along in terms of converting third downs. Our defense still isn't great at stopping the other team on third down and getting off the field. But Georgia is not great on third down, and they're not great at stopping the other team on third down. So I think if Auburn could kind of win that battle, keep getting third downs, get first downs and extend drives, I think that'll be a big part in stop Georgia when they have the ball on third down.
Yeah, so. I agree. The whole third down thing, our defense is something we've had a problem with for a long time, for years, is that we'll stop, you know, we'll hold a team to like a 2 yard gain on first down. We'll even get like a 3 yard sack or a 5 yard sack on second down, and then we'll let them complete a 18 yard pass on third down. And how many times have we seen that? Over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, Aaron Murray and that crowd, they're going to be able to do that. So, again, you might as well get ready. It's not going to be a shutout, right? I mean, they're going to convert third downs. They're going to make you pull your hair out wondering how come we're letting them off the hook over and over again. It's just going to happen, and we're just going to have to stand up to it and keep plugging away and outscore them.
Yep. The good news, let's talk about some good news, some stats and stuff that make us think we got a good shot here.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that Georgia has allowed 8 kickoff returns of 30-plus yards.
Oh, you know some fellas that are licking their lips now.
Yes, it's been a problem for them, and that's the kind of thing, especially after last week's game, they're probably pretty worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, and the thing is, we've got different players that do it. It's not like we have one guy you can stop. I mean, because, you know, was it Chris Davis had the punt and then and was special teams player of the week, I believe. And Corey Grant with the kickoff return. And then later on another kickoff return, Quan Bray had a good return, didn't he?
Right.
So, and then and I think Trey Mason had a good return.
Well, and you've seen Mason return kickoffs before. You know he could do that.
Yeah, so there was at least 4 different guys that had good – you know, again, it wasn't like we had this one super stud expert kick returner.
Well, it's like not – we used to have Alexander Wright
many
years ago who was super fast. He was the fastest guy in the SEC. He caught a kickoff return. If, you know, if the defense wasn't in the right position, he could go right by everybody. It's not like that.
And Tim Carter later, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, but yeah, this was like 4 different guys each having great success, so – yeah. You made the point too that in our agenda here that holding them to field goals, and I think that's you want to make Georgia bring a field goal to a touchdown fight, you know, to mm-hmm. use the analogy of bringing a knife to a gunfight. You want them to be kicking field goals while we're scoring touchdowns. That would suit me very well. That was kind of how the 2010 game ended up turning, was we were back and forth with them, and then finally Rick kicked a field goal, and you felt like that was a moment that they would come to regret, and we went ahead and pulled it out. But you know, it's almost like giving up and letting and leaving points off the board that you could have had. So
it's gonna be big. It stopped them holding the field goals while Auburn's driving down and get touchdowns. That's gonna be the difference in the game, I think.
And what do you again? So we said we'd talk about this later. How much passing are we really going to do? Let's kind of nail this down.
I think we're going to pass much more than we did against Tennessee or Arkansas. We're not going to come out. It's not going to be like half passing, half run shooting, because it's not how it's
ever. That's not our team.
Well, and that would be stupid, you know, with this offense.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to, you know, Georgia has a weakness against the pass. I think the plays are going to be there. I think Auburn's going to take advantage of them. Not anything risky or dangerous. We're not going to be throwing it, you know, 50 yards down the field every time. But just some little play action stuff. We haven't seen, you know, Nick Marshall with a little bootleg, roll out, any of that kind of stuff. We haven't done much of that kind of stuff at all. And it's there all the time. Mm-hmm. Those kind of plays where he could run it or throw it. And I think we're going to see some of that, you know, passes to our little freshman Marcus Davis or to Uzama, those kind of guys. And I think we'll throw the ball a little bit more. Maybe he throws it 20 times during the game total. But I think it'll be enough to keep, you know, take advantage of what George is doing, keep him off balance, and pick up a bunch more yards. So
would you put Jeremy – how soon would you put Jeremy Johnson in to take a few shots? How early in the game? What quarter?
I just think it seems like putting him in kind of disrupts the offense the way they were flowing the last 2 weeks. Yeah. It's tough to do.
I agree.
The other thing is I think we need to put him in the game and have him run the ball.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody expects it. You know, I think if he's going to come in the game, sometime he's going to have to do the read option and just keep it, because he ought to be able to get 5 yards just by surprise. So, second quarter, I think.
You know, that is the one – okay. That is the one objection I've had to how we've done the Wildcat sort of thing over the years, and when we'll do something like that, is like putting in Kyle Frazier or something, is we never seem to try to disguise it or do the opposite of what people expect. We put the running guy in and we run, you know, or we put the passing guy in and we pass. Mm-hmm. A little change up, you know, yep. would be nice, but we never seem to do that. Here, I've got a few numbers that I found here and there on the internet that I thought you might find interesting. I can't testify as to the veracity of these, but this is what I found, and you can address it if you want. In the last three games, Nick Marshall's quarterback rating, 187.97. Aaron Murray's quarterback rating during that time, 59.94.64.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
Yes.
All right. Rushing. Auburn has had about 400 yards a game the last four games. 400 yards rushing. Georgia has had, guess how many yards rushing a game the last four games?
I don't know.
150.
Okay.
Georgia has committed 7 turnovers in the last three games.
That's not good.
And Georgia is averaging 30 points a game the last four games. Auburn is averaging 40 points a game the last four games. And lastly, Aaron Murray, in his 10 games he's quarterbacked against big top 10 opponents, he is 2-8. What do you think of all that?
I think that makes me think we got a real shot at him. Again, we know Georgia hasn't been playing well. I mean, some of it is injuries, and some of it is this team just isn't as good as they were last year.
Well, reading that kind of stuff, though, is what makes me lean more and more toward I really expect that we're going to win.
No, I mean, I expect we're going to win because I think Auburn is just better than Georgia right now. I mean, I think we're a better team. We're better on special teams. Our offense is better than their offense right now. And, you know, defenses are probably a draw right now.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a shade better than us on defense. We're better at keeping them out of the end zone. They might be better at holding the yardage down. But,
yeah.
You know, I think we're better. Maybe they're better at, you know, covering people and tackling. We're better at getting pressure on the quarterback. But, you know, I think at home, this team for Auburn is going to play well. And I think, you know, Marshall is peaking at the right time for this game. He's going to have a huge game and take it to him. So,
yeah. One other thing, if you want to do the transitive, and again, this does include Vanderbilt, which we know that wasn't the same Georgia team, but I just like the idea. If you compare Auburn and Vanderbilt, okay, how did if you put Vanderbilt in our shoes, how did Vanderbilt do against Florida?
They beat them.
They beat the pants off of them. How did Georgia do versus Florida?
Well, they beat them, but it was close.
Exactly. How did Vanderbilt do against Georgia?
Beat them.
Yeah. How did Georgia do against Tennessee?
Barely beat them.
How did Auburn do against Tennessee?
We crushed them.
All right. So you see what I'm saying. Now, again, I know it's easy to do that, but still, every trend, every number, okay, is going that way. I don't see anything here that makes me go, oh, man, Georgia's got that trend going for them. And cap it all off, it's in Auburn. It's a home game for us. Now, this used to be a series sort of like Alabama-LSU, right, where the home team lost a lot, the visiting team won. But that changed. Well, lately it's been the team not in red has lost, but more often than not. But this used to be this was a game where Auburn won in Georgia like every time throughout the 90s into the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia inexplicably tied or beat us in Auburn every year.
I think they won 4 of the last 5 in Auburn.
Yeah. So, I just feel very strongly that this is a game we should win, given where everything is now as compared to the beginning of the season.
The other thing you mentioned is turnovers, and they've had a real problem with that recently. Here's the number of turnovers Georgia has given away, that number of times they've turned the ball over in the second half of the season, okay, right? Against Missouri, 4 times.
Wow.
Against Vanderbilt, 3 times. Against Florida, 1 time. Against Appalachian State, 3 times. So, I mean, they're basically averaging 3 turnovers a game the last 4 games here. So,
mm-hmm.
You come in, if they come into Auburn and turn it over 3 times, you know,
it's done.
We'd have an excellent chance to win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to think so. Yeah, you don't give our offense more opportunities, and certainly not like if you turn it in at your own end of the field.
That's right.
They need to make us run the whole length of the field to stay under control. So, all right. So summarize your Auburn-Georgia views, and then we will move into our final segments.
I think Georgia's going to move the ball on us. I think between Gurley, Air Murray, the receivers they have coming back, I think they're going to move the ball. They're going to score points against us. But I think in our stadium, the way this team is playing, Auburn will score more. I think we don't run the ball quite as effectively, but we open up the passing game and have a lot of success with that, enough to keep them off balance. And I think Auburn wins a higher scoring kind of game. At home, you know, I think it's going to be something like, you know, 41 to 31, something like that.
Okay. I agree with most of that. I think we're going to run, and we're going to run over them, and the running game will get better as the game goes along. I think we're going to run for over 300 yards, and I think we win by at least 2 touchdowns. I think we're going to win, I'm going to say that we win 38-24.
Okay.
All right. What else we got?
All right. Well, let's talk about what happened the rest of the SEC last weekend. We already mentioned Vanderbilt crushing Florida.
Wow.
Do you think Will Muschamp should be fired?
Well, I've been saying that he's in trouble for a couple of weeks now. I know they did pretty decently last year, but it really wasn't because their offense was beating anybody. If they'd had a better offense last year, they could have played for the national championship. I don't know if I might give him one more year. Now, see, if he was Georgia's coach and he was doing this, they'd give him 3 or 4 more years. But Florida's not as patient as Georgia. They're more like us.
His record is very Zookian right now.
Well, the difference, though, is Zook was an 8-4 coach, even with the Florida talent, every year, whereas Muschamp had an 11-2 year, and now he's having a 4-4 or 4-5 year. So it's not quite the same thing.
I would say that it's, you know, there's a lot of injuries this year, but last year's Florida team way overachieved. I mean, they were bad on offense last year. They just found a way to win games.
Exactly. So, yeah, I guess I'd give him one more year because I like Muschamp. I think he's a good coach, but he may end up being just a slightly better Gene Chizik.
Well, but again, the biggest thing he's got to do now is they're going to fire the whole offensive staff, probably, certainly the offensive coordinator. They have to recruit better on offense. I mean, they have their talent at quarterback, running back, and receiver doesn't scare anybody. And they have to recruit better at those positions, and they got to find an offensive coordinator who can actually get something done in the SEC.
What they're doing
now isn't working.
Right. Here's a question for you. Will Virginia Tech fire Scott Loeffler after this year? And if they do, will they hire the old Florida offensive staff?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but Virginia Tech went down to Miami and crushed them, and they, you know, had like 400 yards offense in that game. No. Quarterback threw for 300 yards.
Well, we were entirely wrong about Scott Loeffler, and I take back everything I ever said about him.
We'll see. Their day is coming. You know, they if they keep winning, they may end up getting Florida State in the ACC championship game, and then you can see how Loeffler does on that stage.
Yeah.
All right, we both watched, I'm sure, the Alabama LSU game.
Oh, jeez, that was the more I don't know the word. I went into that game with hopes that LSU would expose Alabama and give me hope, and I came out of that game thinking, I don't know, what did you take from it?
Well, first of all, the biggest play in the entire game was the stupid strip at the goal line in the first quarter. The stupid fullback for LSU, Copeland, at the ball stripped from him. I'm sure he was already starting to celebrate or whatever. He was an inch away from the goal line when he got hit. If he carries the ball in the end zone, I really think it's a different game.
Yeah.
And instead, Alabama got the ball and drove down the field. That score could have gone differently. I think they really think the game would have turned out a little bit differently. Alabama still probably would have won, but it wouldn't have been 21 points, that's for sure. So, I think that was a big play. But the biggest thing is Alabama made the plays like that when they needed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their offense is tough. We knew that. You know, Yeldon is slippery. He's difficult to tackle. He kind of slides around the ends and between the tackles and stuff. And their defense is solid. I mean, they're well coached. They're fundamentally sound. They're in the right position. They know what the offense is going to do, and they're standing there waiting for you when you do it. So, Mettenberger didn't really play an A game, which they needed him to. Their running backs were not great in that game. So,
What do you think of Yeldon?
I mean, he's slippery. He's kind of runs upright.
Yeah.
But he's explosive around the corner, and he gets yards. I mean, you look at him and go, gosh, he looks like somebody could hit him. And, you know, he's not that big, but, you know, he's quick. He's got great, good balance, and he's got good eyes. He can see exactly where and when to make his cuts and where to be, and he gets it done.
He just doesn't impress me as much as I thought he would. I mean, he's not a bad running back. He reminds me more of Trey Mason in some ways, but seemingly a little bit bigger. I guess many people are bigger, but he kind of runs like Trey, but not quite as tough. It seems like he seems like he comes down pretty easily most of the time. I agree he is kind of slippery in that same slashing way as Trey, but I don't know. I just maybe I'm just bitter because of, you know, how it all played out, but he doesn't impress me that much.
It's fine to be bitter.
What was the deal? I didn't see the final score of the Texas A&M Mississippi State game.
Yep.
51-41?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I mean, you know how it happened. Texas A&M's defense is terrible. They were up a lot of points, and then State kept coming back and coming back, and, you know.
Just running on them?
Well, they, you know, played a lot of that Dak Prescott guy, and he ran up and down the field on them and stuff. And, but, you know, A&M, you know, played kind of like they did against us. They kept giving them chances and stuff. So it kind of was what it was. That A&M defense is terrible, and Mississippi State did just enough.
Yeah.
So.
And then Arkansas goes down in flames again to Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah, Arkansas on the road at Ole Miss. Yeah, they weren't I know it. None of us are crying to see Brett Bielema lose again. So
well, and as far as Ole Miss goes, I mean, at the time, people were saying, "Oh, Ole Miss, what a disaster! They lost to Auburn." But right now, that Auburn loss doesn't look nearly as bad for Ole Miss, does it?
No, it doesn't, because they kind of hung with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, coming up not this week, but next week, they get Missouri in Oxford. And that's going to be an interesting game.
They're very much so, yeah. Has Ole Miss played Texas A&M yet? I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost.
So, but Ole Miss is putting together a pretty decent little season here.
Sure. Yeah. No, they're not bad. Yeah. I mean, they're going to get a bowl game.
They beat LSU. So,
that's right.
So, yeah.
No, I mean, they're a solid team, and they, you know, they're – offense played really well last week. I mean, Bo Wallace had a great game. But, no, they're pretty good. I mean, you know, they've already won six games, and they got Troy, Missouri at home, and at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, theoretically, they could win all three of those. I don't think they're going to beat Missouri. I think they could. It's in, you know, because it's in Oxford. So,
So 8-4, I guess, is not if they were.
Yeah.
So that's not bad.
8-4 for them. They should be happy.
Absolutely. Let's see, what's coming up this week besides our game?
In addition, our game is clearly the headline game, the CBS 330 game. And additionally, we have Florida at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Not quite the marquee game it's been in the past.
no.
You get to have Spurrier taunting Florida.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun. Alabama goes to Starkville.
Woo.
You're not feeling the upset potential there, man?
How many years, how many times – have we rooted the Bulldogs of Starkville on in their chaotic quest to take down Alabama? And how many times have we been disappointed? Every time.
They got to be like 1-20 against them in the last 21 years. Yeah, I don't know.
Every year, Mississippi State is like, this is our year. We're good this year. And Alabama's got weaknesses. And no, you lose. You always lose.
Yeah. So no, it's in Starkville, but again, it'll be interesting to watch, especially if they play that Prescott guy because he's a running quarterback to see what he can do against Alabama and to see if there's anything there that Auburn can use. So
yeah, I think that probably Alabama is already kind of spending a few minutes game planning for us. Would you imagine?
I would say that's probably fair.
Yeah.
And the only other SEC game is Kentucky at Vandy.
Oh God. It just something is not right about saying, I wonder if Kentucky can compete with Vanderbilt. There's nothing in that sentence that's pleasant to contemplate. It's just, it's not good for Kentucky, and it's just not natural for Vanderbilt. Nope. What do you think about Franklin? How much longer are we going to see him in the SEC?
I think he's an excellent coach. I mean, because Vanderbilt's a private school, you don't know the real details of his contract. But I think, you know, big school is going to call. I mean, whether it's Southern Cal or Texas or somebody else down the road, somebody else, you know, freaking Florida. If they fired Muschamp, they should hire him tomorrow.
Oh, so. Yeah, absolutely.
But I think, you know, if Texas or Southern Cal, either one, could certainly call him and make an offer, and it might work.
Yeah, and it emerged that maybe Kevin Sumlin was being considered for USC.
Well, I mean, USC is a kind of job you have to have a coach who's a charismatic guy. It's a big media market, and there's a lot else going on there. And so the Southern Cal coach has to, you know, be a figure. It can't be just an X's and O's boring vanilla guy. And Sumlin has that. He's kind of cool. It's an exciting offense. You know, he coached Heisman Trophy winner recently. And so I think he's the kind of guy that could go over there. It's difficult for me to see him leaving Texas A&M to go there, but you never know.
And if he does leave, you got to think they're going to go get Cliff Kingsbury to College Station, right?
They'll call, but, you know.
But you leave, even if it's your alma mater, you leave Lubbock for College Station, surely.
I would, sure.
Even if you...
They're expanding the stadium. I mean, they,
yeah.
You know, they got tons of talent there. Yeah, I'd go tomorrow. Sure. But, I don't think someone's going to leave. I think USC's going to have to hire somebody else. So.
To paraphrase Bear Bryant, if Kingsbury was asked about going to College Station, he would say, "Mama called and I pretended like I wasn't home and didn't take the call and went to College Station instead." All right. Well, I guess that gets us to the end of our list of topics for this week. Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, we've talked so far this season about how we're just enjoying the ride.
Yeah.
And we're just, you know, every game, we're just enjoying this team. We're not, you know, after the horror that was last year, we're just being happy with what we can. And is it time to take that more seriously?
Yeah, that's the question I meant to talk about earlier. And let's wrap up with that. That's a very good question, I think, is, yeah, it's part of the whole expecting us to beat Georgia thing. Expectations have dramatically changed because of the results on the field over the course of this season. And because of that fact, I think we have to change to some degree how we're reacting to it. Because if we expect to win, then our expectations have changed by definition, right? And so is it no longer just we enjoying the ride like the little pig with the windmills, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, you know, hunkering down and saying we need to do this to get to this bowl and to contend for this championship and so forth?
I mean, I think this we're at the point where this Auburn team has a chance to win the SEC championship. And that's not something I would have said a couple weeks ago even, but that's not something that happens every year. And when you get the opportunity to with two games to go, that, you know, you have a shot to win the SEC title. I mean, I think that has to be your focus and your goal at this point. That has to be what we're, you know, what we're seeing is the kind of the ring at the end of this. So I think the expectation is the point where I think they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the performance level of the team makes me think they could play that way and get to that point. So the hard part is, you know, the whole enjoying it as it comes has been working for me. So it's tough to shift into, you know, having expectations and hoping for a lot when I watch this team. So,
you know, I've been watching this whole season without any thought to where to, you know, to Auburn playing for anything beyond just the Music City Bowl versus something else, you know, slightly bigger. And therefore I have been hoping that we would get to the end of the season with like four or five undefeated teams and chaos for the last year of the BCS and another 2004 and all that. I've been hoping that. And it's only started dawning on me very recently that I really wish everybody would lose, because that would put us right up there with everybody else contending for even more than the SEC championship. And I'll say this, I've heard some Georgia fans talking and saying that they are thinking of this like 2006. Remember when we had only lost one game, Arkansas, and we were in the running for the national championship with one loss, and they came into Auburn and just, you know, took us down hard.
Yep.
So once again, yet one in a long line of years where Georgia ends up with nothing to play for except spoiling Auburn's season.
Yeah. Everybody has something, and that's their thing.
That's their thing. All right. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of the show. Be sure to visit the new Facebook page and hit us up on Twitter at AU Wishbone, at JK Ringer, at Van Allen Plexico. And you can email us at auwishbone@gmail.com. I suppose we had a long show and a lot of topics, but I guess we got through it all. So, John, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle.
War Eagle, man.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
We will beat Georgia.